south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, if you remember, in the last two shows, I was talking about getting residence, temporary and permanent, in Latin America, specifically with the example of Guatemala, since people who have been signing up for my Expat Wisdom Seminar coming in July 2015, and it will be in and around Guatemala. So they have the chance, if they stay on an extra 10 or 15 days after the seminar, to apply directly for their temporary or even permanent residency, depending on their situation. In other words, kill two birds with one stone so they don't have to come down again and do it another time. That's why in the last two shows I gave you a step-by-step procedure on how to get ready when you come down here to Latin America, specifically again Guatemala, because there will be some hoops to jump through up in the States, that is, dealing with your own state to get documents authenticated, as well as dealing with your own sheriff's department to get a police report and the Guatemalan embassy closest to you to get all that stuff officially authenticated by them before you come down. And I mentioned you could probably get all that done in about 2 weeks up in the States. And if you're just simply unlucky, it could take up to a month, though almost never more than that. By the way, you probably noticed my voice is cracking. I kind of blew it out in the last few days doing consults and webinars and stuff, so just bear with me. I'll try to get through this. Now, since I did those two shows, I've been getting some emails from people asking me some more particular questions, things I might have missed or need further explanation. That said, let me finish up for a minute or two on a certain point of permanent residency. Now, one emailer starts out by saying, if I have temporary residency and it runs the 1 or 2 years necessary, then of course I apply for my permanent residency. As I know with temporary residency, I have to go down to the sheriff's department where I live in the States, etc., etc., get a background check or a good conduct report, whatever they call it, then bring it down with me to Latin America or send it to my lawyer down in Latin America, whatever country I'm applying for temporary residency. But what I'd like to know is, once I've got my temporary residency in, a year or 2 years or whatever, in other words, it's in force and it's run its course, when I apply for permanent residency then, do I have to get another police report and go through those hoops, get it certified, bring it to the consulate up near my state and all that? Just checking, Johnny. Other than that, you seem to have explained everything to a T and then some. See you down there shortly, Johnny. Alan in Connecticut, but not for long. Like that send-off, Alan. Anyway, that is one point I really didn't cover. What happens after you've had temporary residency for a year or so and you're ready to apply for permanent residency? Do you have to get another police report and all that? Well, thankfully, no. Turns out, and I guess this seems to be a kind of a glitch in the law or just the way third world countries work or don't work, but you see, because you are a temporary resident for a given period of time, they assume you're living in the country, whether you're in or out of the country or not. Yes, when you apply for that permanent residency, then you will need a police report. But however, since, like I said, they'll assume that you've been in the country, even though, like I said in a past show, you only have to be in the country one day a year. Specifically, we're talking about Guatemala now. When you sit down with your lawyer and fill out the paperwork for permanent residency application, he'll get a police report on you from Guatemala. And believe me, unless you've been a very, very bad boy or girl, in that 1 day a year you've been staying in the country, your police report will come up squeaky clean. And what does a police report like that cost? Well, about 15 to 25 bucks. So again, not to worry. Once you've had temporary residency and you've had it run its term, a year to 2 years, permanent residency will follow without a U.S. police report and without a hitch. Now, on that note, I should mention again that my July 2015 Expat Wisdom Seminar in Central America, in and around Guatemala, is open for registration. Just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin Seminar link for full details. And remember, there's an early bird discount if you sign up before May 1st. After that, the price of the seminar goes up $500 per person. Oh, and by the way, if you notice, when you go to the seminar link on the Expat Wisdom website, you can pay for the seminar in one payment or there's a 3-payment installment plan. And people have asked me, if they sign up for the seminar with the 3-payment installment plan, if they sign up before May 1st, will they still get that early bird discount, even though they haven't paid for the whole thing by May 1st? The answer to that is, of course you will. But note, you haven't got much time to get in on the early bird discount. Now, today's show is scheduled to go out to the world on April 26th, which means, including today, you've only got 5 more days to sign up and get that early bird discount. Because, again, like I said, on May 1st, the price goes up $500 per person. Okay, then let's get on to something else. Now, everybody loves a good story, and I've got a good one for you here. Just this morning, while traveling through San Pedro Sula, Honduras, Honduras' second biggest city with a little over 1 million people. Now, as far as expatting to this city, I wouldn't recommend it for a lot of reasons. One, it's miserably dry and hot. It's not in the Altiplano. And though it has some very nice gated subdivisions and it's a very cheap city to live in, I still wouldn't want to live there. Why? You see, it's one of those cities, if you map it out in districts and neighborhoods, like I always recommend if you're planning on checking out any city in Latin America, get a good map and mark it first. If you have a local resident or a cab driver, for example, check out or color in the areas or districts that are safe and the ones that aren't. You'll find out there's more dangerous places in San Pedro Sula than nice, safe places. So, naturally, it's not on the top of my list for expatting. Now, it's true, like any Latin American big city, there is a lot of crime. Robberies, assaults, a high murder rate, etc. But note, all that crime is in particular districts. For example, homicides. If you read on in the news reports, they're always in the same little districts and subdivisions. By the way, almost never in guarded, protected, gated subdivisions that most gringos live in who are big city dwellers. Anyway, that said, I know quite a few expats living in that town and they're getting by rather well. Nice businesses, doing fine. That's because they know just which places and districts and neighborhoods are fine for visiting, hanging out, and walking in both day and night. And they know the areas that are just okay during the day and areas that are not good day or night. That said, if you're a fresh green expat coming down looking for a place to become a permanent expat, I still wouldn't recommend San Pedro Sula. Nor would I recommend the capital, Tegucigalpa, which has a big crime problem and is a very ugly, scruffy-looking city, too. However, there are more than a handful of nice little cities that expats would find very charming and great to live in Honduras. One being Copan, where they have that fabulous ruins that nobody goes to see right on the border of Guatemala. Anyway, that said, and I know I'm getting off the point here, but I do get a lot of emails from people asking me what the situation is like in Honduras and would I want to live there. Especially when people read it's got the highest murder rate in Latin America. Well, I'll tell you what, if I was a little bit older and more laid back and less hyper, I'd definitely move to Copan. That would be just a great little place to open up a little business and swing in a hammock and drink pina coladas all day long. But as for me, I'm just a little bit too active and hyper to settle for that kind of fade out with my golden years if I ever get to them. So anyway, driving through San Pedro Sula in the business district, close to the main Central Park where it's pretty safe, by the way, in the day, but at night, well, I wouldn't go there. Anyway, parked my car in front of a nice big office complex, and as I was getting out to plug the meter, I saw something very strange, something you'd never see up in Cleveland. And by the way, I'm talking about the business district in this town of 1 million, so the parking should be at a premium, right? So anyway, I parked on the street, which is okay right there, no problem unless you have a big-ass SUV with trick rims and all kinds of bling hanging from it. Then again, if you had a car like that, maybe no one would bother you since they'd think you might be a narco. Or at minimum, an extreme macho dickhead. A lot of that going around, let me tell you. Now, in most places in Latin America, you can park on the street if you just have a regular, moderate, unobtrusive late model car like a Nissan Sentra or something. No one will ever bother you. Anyway, I got out of the car to plug the meter, which, by the way, was about 50 cents U.S. an hour. You heard me right. 50 cents an hour. And that was in the business district in the center of a city of over 1 million people. As opposed to a protected parking lot, which would cost about $1 to $1.50 an hour. Which is fine too, but more than twice the price than if you parked on the street. At a meter. So anyway, I'm plugging the meter and all of a sudden, a big old golf cart pulls up, painted with the municipal colors. That means it's a city vehicle. And 5 guys got out of it. The driver stayed in. That makes 6. And their job was to empty the coins out of those meters. So I stood there and watched, and I just couldn't believe it. Six people in a golf cart who had the job of emptying coins from parking meters in the downtown area. And note, they were all spiffed up in transit police uniforms with little helmets on. And I decided to move over and watch them in action. So I moved away from the parking meter, let them do their work, and they were joking around with each other, as Latins will do, because they are a happy folk, you know. And you know, since my Spanish is decent enough, when I'm off the gringo tourist trail like that, and believe me, this is way off the gringo tourist trail, no gringos in sight, even in a big city like that. Anyway, note that when locals do run into the odd gringo, they never suspect that he can speak Spanish, which means they'll just carry on with their general conversations in Spanish, as if you or me, the gringo, didn't understand a word, and most times we don't, right? So anyway, I was in no real hurry, and they never picked up on the fact that I was eavesdropping. And as I was listening, I recognized that one of these guys was in a terrifically happy mood. Turns out he just found out his daughter was pregnant, and that it was gonna be a boy. And of course, the other guys were congratulating him and stuff. But here's the unsettling part of that story. As it turns out, this guy's got three daughters and two sons, and they all live at home with him and his wife. And get this, two of his daughters, one 16 and one 15, are pregnant now. Unmarried, of course. And worse yet, three of the other guys in that city golfing cart were bragging about their daughters, some who had babies already, others who were pregnant now. No, I take that back. They weren't bragging about their daughters. They were bragging about their new grandkids or future grandkids, hoping, of course, they'll all be boys. That's all part of the macho thing down here. Everybody wants a boy. Even the girls want a boy. And by the way, a couple of the other guys mentioned that their daughters, unwed of course, were living at home too with their babies. Also unwed. Yet I noted these guys were not in any way complaining, just stating a fact. Which underscores a huge irony in Latin America, a kind of a terrible problem that seems to exist in all lower class, lower middle class, and middle class families. Now, remember, that's a huge group that makes up between 80 to 90% of all Latin Americans. Now, see if you can figure out the logic in this. Almost all young Latin girls want to have babies. Now, I've been down here a long, long time, and I think I've met three young Latin women in my whole time down here who said they didn't want to have babies at all. Though two of them said they might consider having kids if they found the right guy. But it couldn't be a Latin guy, they said. Hint, hint. And all three were college educated. Now, here's the deal. No Latin woman would ever want to get pregnant without being married. Because, you know, this is a Christian society. Thus, an unwed mother carries around with her a bit of a stain or embarrassment, or so you might think. But here's the kicker. If an unwed teenage Latin girl living at home gets pregnant, after a slight initial shock, the family is overjoyed and welcomes the fact that there'll be a new kid in the family. Especially the family's women folk. They go absolutely gaga over pregnant family members and new babies. Even the father of an unwed teenage daughter, who you'd think would be extremely pissed and ready to get the shotgun, down here after about 10 seconds of initial shock, they're as proud as punch to welcome another little boy into the family, a grandson. Even though it might not be a boy, he hopes and prays it is. I know what you're thinking. If you were to transpose the situation up to the States with a middle-class American family, if a teenage daughter living at home suddenly got knocked up, it's the girl's father who would generally blow his top, and there would be hell to pay, at least in families that I know back up in Chicago. Though these days I might be way off base on this. When I did live back in Chicago many years ago, middle class, white, waspy neighborhood and all, when that happened to a family, there was a lot of shame and anguish. In fact, I know a couple of young Catholic girls that got sent away on, quote, vacation. And from then on, they were kind of under house arrest, if you know what I mean. Now, whether they had the kid or got an abortion, who knows? But down here, note that there are almost no abortions. In fact, I've spoken to a lot of young Latin girls and older Latin ladies about this, and it's considered practically one of the cardinal sins of life if a girl has an abortion. It doesn't matter. Even if she's raped, she almost never has an abortion. Whereas up in the States, I remember going to my 10-year high school class reunion, And I'll bet a good quarter of the girls in my high school class had abortions at one time or another. Of course, they kept it to themselves and all that, but in time, the rumors leak out and everybody kinda knows. You know what I'm talking about. And that was some years ago. Now, here in Latin America, even present-day Latin America, anything like that would be basically unthinkable. In fact, I do remember mentioning that to a couple of enlightened, educated Latin women, and they didn't believe it. Of course, they never went to school up in the States or hung around with gringas either. Now, remember, I'm talking about that 80 to 90% of Latin America that's lower class, poor, lower middle class, and middle class. Now, when it comes to the upper middle class and wealthy class as well, since they're all on the fast track to being gringo wannabes, it turns out that unwed teenage girls living at home who become in a family way often disappear for a while on, quote, vacation too. But in the Latin American case, it's almost always to have the baby, never for that dreaded abortion, heaven forbid. So that said, when you talk to enlightened Latin ladies with a college education generally about the very slow but sure liberation of women down here in Latin America, they'll nearly always tell you that the biggest hindrance to having equality in Latin America and the ability of a woman to have control over her own mind and body is 1, the macho society, and 2, the Catholic Church. And when you talk about abortion, even enlightened Latin women sort of cringe. It's like that old saying, once a Catholic, always a Catholic. And even for the most enlightened, educated, and liberal Latin ladies, the abortion thing is something they just can never get over. For example, one enlightened Latin woman told me, she said, "Johnny, did you say abortion? Don't say that too loud. Everybody will stop and stare at you. It's not something nice people talk about in casual conversation. That's just the way it is here." Then, when we moved to a more isolated area in the coffee shop, she said, "Honestly, Johnny, even if I wanted one, I wouldn't know where to get it. I mean, you can't look in the yellow pages. And in Latin America, it's pretty much illegal, even if it's incest or rape." So, there you have it. You've got double, even triple sets of conflicting social standards. You've got poor, lower middle class and middle class young guys running around bragging about how many girls they knocked up because, you know, the more kids you father, the more tough, virile, and macho you are. Then you've got the fathers of these girls who grew up with that same kind of attitude, though really disliking the idea that their young, unwed daughters are getting knocked up. Yet, on the other hand, they just love the idea and brag about being grandparents, especially if the kid's a boy. Then finally, you have the heavy hand of the Christian faith saying, if a woman has an abortion, it's the worst of mortal sins and the woman's going to go to hell, even in the case of rape or incest. So then how do you juggle all those contradictions? Oh, and there's more. Now, once a young, unmarried, underage girl gets pregnant in a Latin family, it takes about 2 seconds for the news to travel through the neighborhood, and it's not bad news. It's fantastic news, according to them, especially in the minds of the women folk. Guess what? Good news. Did you hear? There's going to be a new baby in the family. The fact that the mother's only a kid of 14, 15, 16, or 17 doesn't matter. That's part of the reason why they call it the third world. 90% of the people down here don't look farther ahead than the next payday. Think about it. What we consider up in the first world to be the worst kind of news turns into one huge grand event down here in Latin America. No exaggeration here. Everybody's happy about it. And you know, it's not you or I or any expat gringo or tourist's job to try to talk any kind of sense into these folks and tell them there's something wrong with this whole scenario. Bottom line, the third world is always going to be the third world if those kind of attitudes prevail. That said, you don't want to get into any kind of discussion on those issues with the average Latin person. You'll never win against that double whammy of machoism and Christianity. Not for a second. So my advice is, next time you get invited to a quinceañero party or a birthday party, and a happy, beaming, very pregnant young teenager sits down in the chair across from you, there's 2 questions you don't want to ask her. 1, how long you been married? And 2, who's the daddy? But let me qualify that for a second. Oftentimes, you'll be at one of these parties and there'll be a heavily pregnant young teenage girl, and she will introduce you to the teenage father. Because you see, the fact is, in macho Latin society, oftentimes, and believe me, I just don't get this, 16-year-old Hector The guy that knocked up 15-year-old Sylvia is welcomed into the family, if not with open arms, at least he's tolerated and makes himself at home. And us expats, you know, we just don't get it. So you just bite your tongue. What we're always thinking is, how is this young jerk who knocked up this child, how does he have the balls, the huevos, to show up at these family get-togethers, sit there like a member of the family and hold his head high? I mean, come on. I could never see that happening up in my neighborhood back in Chicago. Now, call me old-fashioned, call me a prude, call me a stick in the mud, call me anything but dude or awesome. I hate those two words. I just know that back in my day, if an unwed young teenage girl got pregnant, and by chance she did stay home and sit that 9 months out and have the baby, she would not be out there parading her belly at dances and birthday parties in that delicate condition. Not because she wasn't up to it, but because she'd be too damn embarrassed to show her face. Come on, you know her parents would suffer a great deal for it too. And the young teenage guy, the perpetrator of the event, he'd be no guest at any family get-together. He'd be public enemy number one, I tell you that. The fact is, down here in Latin America, there are no so-called shotgun weddings. Not like years ago up in the States, anyway. It's just become so acceptable and so the norm to have a young, underaged, unmarried, pregnant girl in the family. It's no wonder that down here in Latin America, there still is a baby boom going on. And Planned Parenthood? Forget about it. Oh, it exists down here, all right. There are all kinds of first world do-gooders coming down here and giving courses, etc. But they are not making a dent. And worst of all, when you're at a party and you happen to be sitting next to or across from one of these bulging young underage ladies, not only does she seem to be ecstatically happy about it, all the other ladies in the place are hovering around her and catering to her too. It seems to me and a lot of other expats, when these young girls see all the attention that pregnant ladies get, that in itself is a big reason why these young girls want to have babies. Now remember, things are a bit different with the upper middle classes and the wealthy. Like I said, their daughters get pregnant too. I mean, it's inevitable, right? But in the family, there is some residual pain and embarrassment. Because remember, like I said, for the upper middle classes and the wealthy, it's all about appearances, keeping up with the next door neighbors, the Joneses, the Martinezes, whatever. And it wouldn't do to have your young teenage daughters running around barefoot and pregnant. That would neither be cool nor first world-like. As one upper-middle-class Latin lady told me, you don't see unwed, underaged, pregnant girls shopping at high-end malls or ordering cafe lattes at Starbucks, do you? Which, by the way, brings us full circle to the end of our story. So anyway, I sat there for a while listening to those city parking meter coin collectors talk about their pregnant, young, underage daughters. And the amazing thing was they weren't complaining at all. They just seem thrilled to have a new grandson in the house. A very, very common story down here in Latin America, so don't be surprised when you run into that situation. So anyway, that was the conversation I heard in a nutshell as I eavesdropped on those six city workers collecting money from parking meters. And weren't they surprised when they heard me speaking in Spanish? And of course, I offered no opinion on unwed daughters with kids living in daddy's house. Like I said, that's a subject a gringo does not want to touch with a 10-foot pole. Instead, I said something that was meant to be a slight insult, but instead, they just laughed about it, so I know they didn't get it. I asked them, seriously, how come it takes six city workers and a new golf cart to remove what couldn't have been $5 in change from each parking meter they empty? And you know, they were so used to being government slugs that they just kind of shrugged and laughed and said, well, that's our job. And I said, yeah, sure, it goes right along with your president and his party's governmental slogan. And I pointed to a big billboard across the street with a big thumbs up that said, Tu Muni Cumple, which means your municipal government works. They didn't get it. They just laughed again. And then I said to all six of those guys, remember, they're standing around me clinging to my every word because none of them, I'm sure, has ever spoken to a gringo before in his life. Unless, of course, they've been up in the States and deported. A very likely possibility, by the way. And then I said, you know, it kind of reminds me of back home up in Chicago. For every five guys on the street department, there was one shovel. And these parking meter guys didn't get that either. So let's change gears again. I was looking at the major Panama daily newspaper and I came across this little ad. I'll translate. You can study in the year 2015 to become a visiting medical professional. Okay, let me stop here and say I've never seen this degree offered before anywhere. What it is a course that'll train you to be a drug rep for doctor's offices. Now, if you remember in a past show about maybe 2.5 years ago, I mentioned the fact that I was in a doctor's office and I saw some visiting medical salespeople come in, beautiful girls that look like runway models, pulling little airline flight suitcases loaded with samples and goodies for the doctors. Now, way back when I asked these two young ladies in the doctor's office how they qualified for a job like that, they said they began by studying psychology or sociology or some other useless ology, and they both answered an ad in the paper from a drug company that was hiring and training people to become visiting medical drug reps. Well, that was then, a couple of years ago. Now, it looks like some smart first-world gringos have looked into their crystal ball and are projecting that Latin America will be the next growth area for pharmaceutical drugs, obviously thinking the drug companies are going to be hiring a lot of medical reps, of course, to wine and dine and schmooze Latin American doctors. I mean, come on, that's the only way to get them to push your drugs, right? Anyway, that said, just note, it's an absolutely wide-open field, and drug companies want in the biggest way. As of now, at least, there are no ads on Latin American TV for prescription pharmaceutical drugs. No pills for gastric reflux, high blood pressure, or anal fissures, which means there are no warnings for fatal side effects either. Haha. All you see on TV down here are mild over-the-counter drugs like Pepto-Bismol. That's because the average Latin just could never afford to buy today's proprietary prescription drugs. Not on $300 or $400 a month they can't. Hell, I know some seniors up in the States who pay $7,000 a year for prescription drugs. That would be 2 complete yearly adult salaries in Latin America. But anyway, it seems like when you see these ads in the paper for schools training medical drug reps, fact is, first world drug companies must be seeing the writing on the wall. They know they've drained the blood out of all those first world cows and their next stop? The third world. But little do they know, people don't have the dough or the insurance to pay for that kind of stuff. So I hope their big plans just crash and burn. Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of corporate assholes.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture in old style.